You know, one day I was on Facebook, and in the same day I saw these three different posts. These aren't word for word. Let me see, did anybody post these? No, I'm kidding. One of my friends on Facebook posted, "I am ashamed of anybody that I know that is voting for Donald Trump." I thought, wow, that's pretty strong. And then you scroll down and there was like, "I think you're an idiot if you're voting for Hillary Clinton." And then the third one was the moderate one and said, basically, they didn't say it this way, but in order for us to take the higher ground as Christians, we should not vote or participate in politics at all. See, in each one, you could find things that you like or don't like. And we are professionals at gathering facts that already support our anger or our fear or our position in all different areas. And if you've noticed, I can't be the only one that's noticed this, but you can't even, if you're a pro-Trump person, you can't even laugh at a Trump joke. If you're a pro-Hillary person, you can't even laugh at a pro-Hillary joke. So I'm going to, I don't have any Hillary jokes I can think of, but the thing that always makes me smile when I see something about Hillary Clinton is when she has that plastered on smile and they say, make a comment about it. You guys ever see those? Am I the only one? That just tickles me to no end. And then there's another, then I put up on my page about a 6-minute video that's called Bad Lip Syncing. Anybody watch that? It's freaking hilarious. It is so funny because they have Trump and Hillary going, and they're just bad lip syncing the entire time back and forth. And I enjoy that stuff because that brings some humor and some lightness into this political season. But the my favorite Trump one's got to be, don't be offended, okay? So I'm doing this just to loosen you up so you can go, you know, I don't care what the politics are. I want to hear what Jesus has to say through Pastor Les today, okay? But there's a, you know those hand dryers are the old school with the nozzle that comes out here and you push, it says push for hot air. And it says, somebody wrote on there, push here to listen to all of Trump's speeches. That's funny, unless you like Trump. If you like Trump, then it's not that funny. It's like, well, his speeches have been amazing and all of that. But see, that's like all secondary stuff. Even saying that we are going downhill, even saying that everything's awful, that's all political saying because God's not telling me I'm going downhill. But God's not telling me I'm awful or horrible, that I have no future. God is speaking things to me about my life, about who I am, about my future, about my daughter's future, my son's future, my grandchildren's futures. And so when we hear, it's kind of like we become schizophrenic. We hear God in Scripture and the goodness of the Lord about saving the world and the earth, and we're supposed to go make disciples. Yet there's no reason for us to because the world's so bad and going to such a crummy place. And Jesus entered into a place that was far worse than we were, into a group of people that were the lowest people in their group that actually didn't even rule their own land, that Rome ruled them. And he never said, oh my gosh, there's no hope, there's nothing for me to do. And unless the government changes, I am hopeless. He said, no, unless I do something, unless I obey my Father, not my will but his be done, that's what we're looking at. So this is all about us. Today, I want to talk about how to be light instead of pointing out darkness. How to be light instead of pointing out darkness. I'm going to read here out of Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16. Now it says, you are the light of the world. This is not somebody talking to Jesus, pointing to Jesus and prophesying and saying, you are the light of the world. This is Jesus looking at his followers, which we are, saying, you are the light of the world. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. You are the light of the world. A city located on top of a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and place it under a basket, but on a lampshade, and it shines on all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So this morning, I want to connect with this, you are the light of the world, and how we are meant to bring light to the world, not just by a pulling of a lever, a lever, not just voting. I don't mean gambling. Cha-ching! Although that would be life changing for me to roll into some big money. I mean, by the you don't do that anymore, do you? At a polling, do you still do that, or do you do the dial? We do the dial now, and so. But I'm not talking about that. But how can you be light with who you are? And there's this idea, you know, when I was in Scotland, and I was told this the first time I went. It's found to be truer and truer the more I be engaged and more I'm comfortable going over there. Is that I'm the one with the different accent over there. I'm the one that automatically sounds different. I automatically, in any line, any restaurant, any conversation, people look at me, they lean in to hear what you're saying, and very few of them, because they're Scottish and they're not from the South, so they're not asking you where you're from all the time, but a few do, and it strikes up all these conversations that you have, and I shared some of those whenever I talked about coming back from Scotland a few weeks ago. But when I walk in and have that accent, there's something different. People want to know automatically about me, where I'm from, what I'm doing there, a little bit of who I am. It's the same with Caroline if she walks in. It's the same if somebody walked in here and they were 6'9". Well, you would want to talk to them, right? You would go, you would assume you're a basketball player. you see a guy that's really big and bulky, and I was at a Crucible project, a men's project, and there's this guy, a men's weekend, and Stevie's going to be going to that here in a while. And this guy was probably 6'7", and he was just massive. His hands, his palm of his hand was like this big, and he'd walk in like that. And he wasn't something. He just felt like a presence when he walked in, and you wanted to know what does he do? He's not a normal person, you know. And we found out later he was 11 years in the NFL, and he was there with a couple guys that he'd grown up with in junior high and elementary. I got to meet him and stuff like that. But when you walk into a room, we're meant to walk in as light. Now, all of us are aware when negative man walks in the room, right? You're having a good time, you say something, Debbie Downer's in the room. Or you walk into the room and they bring depression into the room. Or you're having a good conversation, an honest, vibrant conversation, and angry man comes in, and all of a sudden the conversation's angry, right? No? You guys aren't used to that? So we're used to that. We have opinionated man. So you're having a good back and forth. You're sharing something on Scripture, and somebody comes in and says, "This is the only way Scripture can ever be read." And so everybody is quiet now. Conversation is over. So we know what it looks like for people to come into the room to be the always fancily well-dressed person, to be the super groomed person. You walk in with something about you that comes in. I had a school teacher that worked for me, and she always walked in, and you could smell her perfume before she ever got through the door. She was, and that's what you know about. So there's an awareness, a room filling up about us that we have. You go to a dinner, there's a couple people sitting down to eat. You show up, you bring something there to that table. But usually it's our opinion, it's our judgment, it's our fear, it's our loneliness, it's our lack of freedom. And we're meant to bring Jesus with us and be right there and have been developed intentionally as a person to be able to share Christ with whatever's going on there in the right way, in a righteous way. And you get the picture. You walk into a place, though, and you're meant to be light. Jesus Christ calls you light. You are the light of the world. And there, it is true that he's called the light also, right? But if we leave that as Jesus is the light, and I'm not the light, then we live in a half-truth. And we keep asking Jesus to do something, to be light somewhere, when he keeps telling us, "I've already told you not to be light, but that you are light. I've told you you are light." And when you're not light, you're already walking in disobedience. And you're not walking according to who I made you if you're not being light. Because that's what you're made to do. How many of y'all keep light bulbs around your house? And why do you do that? Do you use them for light bulbs? You use them to have light? You don't just collect light bulbs to have light bulbs. There's a purpose, and we were made for a purpose. You are the light of the world, and it's important, it's more important in this political season for you to be light than for you to point out darkness. There's a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk that does some marketing stuff, and he has he's got a posting thing for Facebook or any all your social media, and it's like it's called jab jab punch. I think it's jab jab punch. So 7 times you do little things, and then the 7th or 8th time you do a big punch. So you do 7 posts that are just talking about generally giving people good information, connecting with people, and the 8th at that 8th post on Facebook, then you ask for a sell. You tell them what you're selling. But what we do a lot of times, we go all the time, we're like punching people all the time. Sell, 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 sell. Trump, Clinton, don't vote. The third party candidate, this. We never set ourselves up, and we never come in and be light and illuminate what's going on in the room or in their hearts. We never take any time to build a little of a rapport or a relationship. You know, some people immediately liked Jesus when he came in and he was with them. Others just completely didn't like him at all, just about what they heard about him and what he was teaching and what he stood for. But he spent time building relationship, and we don't realize this a lot of times, but a lot of the Pharisees that opposed him, they do get saved. There are examples in our in the Gospels where they are those ones. Paul is one of those examples. When you begin to meet Jesus and see him as light, and you begin to get things exposed in your heart, things begin to change. And it takes time for us to be light, and it takes time for us to share with people about things. So it says here, what I just read, you are the light of the world. So look at your neighbor and say, you are the light of the world. Point at him. Now again, do this. Point to yourself. I am the light of the world. You guys said that equally as loud. Usually when I have people say, point at them and say, you are awesome. And then point at yourself and say, you are awesome. It's like, you are awesome. So good. You guys are light. You're the light of the world. And you're not working hard to be light. You're simply finding your way to being your authentic self, your true self. I don't mean your authentic worst self. I don't mean your lazy, mean-spirited, judgmental, fearful self. I mean your best self that God created you to be. You are a conduit of God's love and his peace. And through the nuances of how you live and how you give and how you speak, you will show him off to others. And we need to think during a season of tragedy or a season of turmoil or a season of conflict that as much as we point out conflict and as much as we point out darkness, pointing out darkness has never turned on any light. How do you make a dark room light? You turn on the light. You bring the light. The light's always there with you. Wherever you are, there's light. In fact, and the scripture alludes to, we have to work hard and stay under a basket so our light won't shine. And we're almost like there's some sort of humility in us not shining and being the biggest and best that we can be. So I have a question in this first point, as you are the light. And the question is, how does it serve us to say, I'm not the light, but Jesus is? Because if we don't walk in the light, it serves us somehow that we are not walking in the light, that we're not being who he's told us we are, that we're not receiving his light and allowing it to express through us. And part of it is, if we don't walk in the light, if we don't claim that we're the light, if we don't seek to let our light shine, It serves us because then I don't have to change. I don't have to think differently. I don't have to hold my tongue. I don't have to think about, I'm going to be out to dinner with this couple. I think I'm going to pray before I go there and ask God, how can I be light in their darkness? How can I be who you called me to be before I even get there? And this is kind of the same thing. We don't have to change, but many of us like to change, and we change, but we change and we get some freedom. But then if we're not to be light, there's no reason to connect or engage with people around us. There's no reason for us to connect with needy people, with hurt people, with lonely people, with mean people, because Jesus is the light. If it's his will, he'll find their way to him. He doesn't you have any use for me. I'm not the light. He's the light. So it serves us and it allows us to not give, work, serve, love, live, and do, but we can wait on God and constantly be waiting on God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit to do something, say something, act a certain way when He's told us to be light and to be salt and to be servants and to serve others. This last week I was praying, kind of walking around the house praying about this, and this is what I felt the Lord say to me. He said, Les, if you don't believe that you are the light of the world and live like you are light, then it allows you to remain in control of yourself and to be the ruler of yourself. You are not shining. You're not shining means you're not letting me be in control. Because if I say He is in me, then He will flow out of me unless I'm in control of me and won't let Him out of me. I was like, wow, I thought it was humble to be, not to be light, not to show off. In fact, it says here, it says here, not only are you supposed to shine, you're not supposed to be put under a basket, you're not supposed to be hidden, and you're supposed to find your way to a hill. I'm a dad. I have a dad hill that I'm supposed to let my light shine on. And I can make it all about politics and all about something with my adult son and with my daughter. I can make it all about a whole bunch of stuff. But if I don't shine the light of Jesus from that hill, I have not been who I was as a dad. I have a spouse hill that I'm on. I have a neighbor hill that I'm on. I have a community hill that I'm on. I have for me working in the church, I have a church hill that I'm on that I'm meant to be light on that hill. All right. And so it's this idea that it serves me and I get to be in control, and it protects me from being hurt when I say Jesus is the light. I'm not the light at all. I'm nothing. I just need to whatever He wants. But He engages with us. He works with us. He calls us what? Co-laborers with Him. We work with Him. Can God do whatever? Yes. But He chooses us to work with us and to partner with us. Is God feeding the hungry kids in the Tomball School District? Meh. People are giving money. Everybody who ate yesterday, somebody gave them money. Everybody who's homeless that gets opportunity to have a home, somebody's giving them money. God's not claiming that He's solving all those problems. He's saying, I want my kids engaged, being light and solving those problems and being those things. Taking yourself out from under that basket and exposing yourself, becoming vulnerable with your light. And the thing is that when you take it out of the basket, then you have to be against wind and rain, people trying to blow you out, and it can be exhausting. The thing is, if you're light, if you're truly being His light, and you're the light of the world like He's the light of the world, and our light of the world is gaining all of His light from the Father, so He never gets burnt out, He never gets exhausted, then if I'm pulling from that source, I never get burnt out. I'm always full of hope. I always have all the wisdom that I need, all the anointing I need, all the time I need to be light and to do what He's asked me to do. And so this idea of the light of the world, to just receive and that you are the light of the world. Now, your flame might be flicked out. It might be tiny. It might be one of those sputtering birthday candles that you put on a cake for an 8 or 9 year old, and they blow it out, and it looks like it blows out. Then it fires back up. It sputters back up, and it might be like that, where it's light then dark. It's on and off. But you are that light, and if you can just embrace that and think about that, I mean, you can think about that you're His children, right? He calls you that. He calls you His bride. He calls you His church. He calls you His righteousness. He calls you His light, that you are the light of the world. And we know that Jesus is a child of God, the Son of God, but we also then say that we're sons and daughters of God, yet we still struggle with being the light of the world. But we're that light. And it's not like everybody's light is to look the same. I mean, we have multiple different bulbs in our house, different watts, different burnage. I mean, and your phone, your TV, everything has lights on them now. And so we are meant to be connected to a source and be that light. And to think about it, that light and darkness are representative of two ends two ends of the spectrum. We know it all the way from Genesis, but it's the light and dark of good and evil, and light always overwhelms darkness. We see in the movies where darkness comes in and overwhelms light, and light disappears. But in reality, darkness never ever overcomes light. Light always has to leave for darkness to be there. So if we're in a world that where we don't like it politically, where we're pointing out darkness, well, then maybe we should consider that we should walk towards that darkness. As Christians, we've been told to stay away from darkness. Don't be part of Hollywood. Don't be part of the news. Don't be a singer, songwriter, musician, unless it's worship music. Like, it's an honorable thing to go be a light among lights, but not honorable to go to darkness and put your light there and maybe get squashed and broken out there and get your light extinguished. I mean, there's not more honorable to be a light just around light. It's not more honorable to be a pastor than it is to be a business person or a person out there. It's the same thing. And one is light in darkness. And it's definitely, to me, seems like a harder thing. But light, we've got to leave the situation. In order for there to be darkness in your marriage, one of you has to leave out of that. Because if you're both believers, you're both light. And you're both in that. And that light is meant to shine and bring light to everybody around you. It's the same with our kids. You know, we were driving. One of my sisters lives about 30 or 40 minutes out of San Antonio in a hangar home with like an airplane in it on an airfield. And we were out there, and we were driving for some reason to go spend the night in San Antonio. We left late at night, and Victoria's like, "Man, the country is creepy." We're like, "Why?" She goes, "Everything's dark. And it's kind of like the moon's up, so there's shadows everywhere. And of course, our headlights dissipate the darkness in front of us, right?" And especially, remember back in the day where your headlights, like in the 70s, when I started driving, like 77, 78, I started driving, your headlights were hardly good at all compared to now. I've got like three different levels. I can go. I can bring my beams in here. I can bring my beams down there. It's like they're amazingly bright, and they go so much farther. But that our headlights diminish that darkness. But what really truly diminishes darkness is at the end of every night, the sun comes out. The sun comes up, and the sun is what dissipates darkness. The S-U-N and the S-O-N, and that darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. And where you're at, darkness is not supposed to exist. Whether it's anger or depression or fear or immorality or addiction, does it exist? Yes, it does. And we can fight that darkness. We can yell at that darkness. We can proclaim over that darkness. Or we can really pay attention to the light and let that burn brightly. And those things will be burnt off. And those things that we've tried to do that we've never been able to do, when we ask Him and allow Him to do those things and we focus on Him, then those things are the things that He will work on that we can never fix or heal of ourselves. In fact, there's a great scripture that says, I'm going to paraphrase it in Corinthians, is that there's a veil, there's darkness over us that we can't see clearly, but when I gaze at Him and see Him gazing at me, then that veil begins to fall. But I have to look away from darkness. I have to look away from the law. And I look towards the one who is the lover of my soul. And things begin to change in me. There's that mystical thing that happens. But again, that shouting at darkness, that telling people they're wrong. Now, I'm not saying don't have strong opinions. I mentioned this last Sunday. I'm not saying don't have strong opinions. I'm not saying don't be passionate. I'm not saying don't post anything. I'm not saying don't have conversations. I'm not even saying don't try to convince people. I try to convince people of things all the time in conversation. What I'm saying is be light first. Be light the most. Be light. Be most passionate towards being the light. But be in this government, in this kingdom, in this system. Be in this, and then this over here, this current kingdom that we're in that's passing away, by the way, that's temporary. I mean, how many of you know who the 22nd president of the United States was? Without Googling it. How many know who the 8th president was? I have no idea. I'm just throwing out random numbers. But in school, when I taught school, you'd have all the presidents up there in his number, you know. And then when Reagan, they had, that was like the newest one when I started teaching school. And then they had Clinton after that. And I knew him at one time, but those are things you forget. But all these things that we're concerned about are passing away. Your health is passing away. Your depression is passing away. This kingdom, the government of earth is passing away. But there's a singular thing that's staying, and that's us with God. We continue. And I believe the Word of God, Jesus being the Word, and everything that we take in is staying with us. We don't take anything else. So your favorite clothes that you have, you don't get to take with you. They're part of this kingdom and this domain. So there's something that's going on. Now, I wrote down here, we need to embrace our likeness. We need to embrace our likeness. And I thought that sounds like a diet commercial, you know. Get rid of fat, embrace your likeness, the new anti-fat pill. We're gonna market that. But embrace your likeness. Embrace it, your lightness, that you're light. Embrace it with wisdom and with passion and with joy. What if we all just assumed, I am the light of the world? I don't need Clinton to be the light of the world. I don't need Trump to be the light of the world. I don't need my spouse to be the light of my world. I don't need my counselor, my pastor, my friend. I don't need my job to be the light in my world. I am the light of that world because I'm tapped in. I'm tapped into Him. And mostly, if we're like this bulb, mostly we walk around without any energy attached. And then what do? We come to church and we screw in for a little bit. If we like the songs, we screw in a little bit deeper and we get electrified. If we like the message and he talks about something we already like and we already get and doesn't make us uncomfortable, we like it, but then we unscrew it by the end of Sunday and we walk around with something that doesn't mean anything. And as a light of the world, our conduits of how we carry it, how we talk about it, how we share it, how we represent, how we stay out of the under the bushel, under hiding, under darkness, and we be light, and how we get on the top of the hill is an important thing. So that first point is you're the light. Quick second point, then I'll close, is this is fascinating to me, is people need to see your good works. People need to see your good works. And you know what? You don't have to believe me, and I don't blame you if you don't. But let's go ahead and read in here again in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city located on top of a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and place it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines on all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people. Great, we can stop right there. Then it says, so that they can see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. We say worship is, I want everybody to glorify God. I want to glorify God with who I am. God, let me glorify you. But we don't want to have any effort put into good works. And God, people need to see our good works. People identify God in how they see and live with you. Your neighbor perceives God. Your employee, employer, your boss, the people you're around, they perceive God as they see you engage in good works. People are fascinated when people volunteer. People are fascinated when people have friends that don't look, act, or have the same role in life as them because they get to see you loving people around you. It's important. The good works are important. Now, there's good works that are wrong works that we do in order for earn our salvation. Those are filthy rags. But there's good works that being tapped into, screwed into that electrical source that we do. But we think, I don't want to have any works here. I don't need any works here. And you're right. You don't need any works right here. But if you're tapped into the one who is light and you are light and you're walking in who you are, you will be producing fruit. If you're not producing fruit, you have to ask yourself, what is going on wrong inside of my system where I'm not producing fruit? We had a lemon tree, put it in our backyard, didn't produce anything. Man, I wanted to cut that thing down so bad because it was producing a lot of green leafy stuff. Nothing else. It had some thorns on it. And it's a Meyer lemon. About the fourth or fifth year, we probably had 150 lemons off of that thing. We had to go out there every single day and take them off because they poop and they'd get heavy. They lay on the ground. Of course, they would get moldy down there. We pick them up. We gave them away, baskets full of them. We made stuff with them. And That lemon tree is not working on growing lemons. It's just getting settled into the ground, pulling up the nutrients, and it's producing what it was created to produce. So this side here is producing something that's a false fruit, that's exhausting, that's tiring, that'll burn me out, that's my own energy. And over here, there's this producing of fruit and life and love and hope and energy that is grounded in Him that's supposed to come through me. And it's me tapping into heaven and giving that out. And it's not just I'm going to prophesy or I'm going to preach, but it's I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be loving, I'm going to help my neighbor, I'm going to jump up off of my porch and go help somebody bring something into their house. I'm going to be looking at other people because I'm at such at peace where I'm at that I'm open to what God wants around me. People need to see your good works. All right, repeat after me. People need to see my good works. They need to see your good works. And you know what? Again, it's not the try harder, do more, be exhausted Christian, get burnt out, then get back on the rat track. The what's that thing called? Hamster wheel. Thank you. The rat wheel, the hamster wheel. Don't get back on that. But it is over here. It's on a journey. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing to be on. That's the one Jesus wants to be on. You are light. And it's being here is being who you're designed to be. And again, people don't need to see you working hard. That's an unattractive thing about Christianity. You got to work really hard. You got to try to look really good. Here's everything you can't say. Here's everything you can say. Here's everything you can't do. Here's everything you have to do. And if you fall out of bounds on any of these, then you're not very good and we can't be around you. And that's an exhausting thing. Over here is I'm busy, I'm energized, I'm excited. There's a guy at the gym I go to, he's probably 60s. I'm like, man, I want some of that in 10 years. I mean, he's energetic, he's there. It's like, that's an attractive thing when you see somebody that's comfortable in their skin with who they are. And as Christians, we should be the most free people in who we are. Our personality should be blossoming, our word choices should be changing, our language skills and communication and connecting with people should be adapting and growing as we become more mature and we grow. If we're followers of Jesus, we're learners, we're maturing, we're growing. And if you can look at yourself and you haven't grown in the last 3 years or 4 years, or there's something going on wrong with where you're planted and how you're connected to Christ and the body of Christ. So here's my conclusion. And the question is, how can you be light? I'm going to give you out of this three ways to be light. The first one is make sure you're connected to the right source. Now, as believers, we're connected to Jesus, right source. But we constantly disconnect from the right source. And we go into the wrong source. This is the right source, so make sure you're connected to the right source in all that you do. You want your marriage to be transformed. You want your finances to be transformed. Tap into the right source. Don't use this, I'm saved, and I'm going to go get some energy over here and learn how to do these things over here. Tap into the right source. The second one, make sure that you're turned on. Make sure that you're turned on. So make sure, number one, that you're connected to the right source. Number two, make sure that you're turned on. And it says here in John 12, you don't have to turn to it, but it's John 12, 36. There's several things I have here, but I'm just going to give you this one scripture. While you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. Our most important work is to believe in Him, not just for salvation, but for right now, for restoration. Restoration in your life, your relationships, your personality, your finances, your health, and the people around you, and the town you live in, and the country you live in, and the world you're on. Restoration for that. So we become children of light, and we stay in the light by our belief. So first, make sure you're connected to the right source. Second, make sure you're turned on. Third, make sure you're in proper position. Proper position in this scripture that we started with would be not under a bushel, but on a hill. So it's not just be a light, it's be a light that's not hidden. And it's not just be a light that's not hidden, it's be a light that is exposed to the highest point possible in your life, at your job, in your marriage, with your friends. And it's okay for us to consider position. And we all, you know, we talked about the depressed person or the happy person or the well-dressed person or the Debbie Downer and stuff like that. So we all have that. And we all have positions. So we have position in our jobs, in our homes. And it's okay to want a better job, to want to be better at something, to want to run a half marathon, let alone a marathon. But it's okay to have those goals. And I want to be an athletic person. That's an okay thing. Those are good things. But primarily, all that position that you have in the world is meant to be positioned to shine as a light. You know, I'm not a football fan at all, but you know, Tim Tebow, I was like shocked how many people love Tim Tebow, the Christian football player. They were like, he's being light. It's like they love that, but they don't want to be light where they're at. Even though the only reason they know about him is because he can throw something or do something or run something or he's athletic. And that's light. But we're called to be light in the exact same way. So this intentional living as Jesus followers, becoming who you were created to be, being who he created you to be, and not living life without him ruling you. And he rules you. When he's in control, when you allow him to be in control, you will become light more and more and more, because you'll be unafraid of darkness and you'll be unafraid of the light that's shining through you. Let's bow our heads.